Hello, my name is Shani Tarragon. Welcome to Tarati Macha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Kohelet, Perek Tet, Chapter 9, as we continue the speech of the hedonist and his rejection both of the Chacham, the wise man, and his philosophy of control, and the Yirei Elokim, his recognition through death of our inability to control. The hedonist, like in his earlier speeches, expresses his frustration not only with life's limitations, but also with the hindrance of death. Whatever potential man has is squashed by death. Death, which inevitably strikes everyone and absolutely erases all accomplishment, makes personal development not worthwhile at all. Perek Tet, like the end of Perek Chet, begins by addressing the Yirei Elokim. Death erases all of man's righteous deeds. Like the phenomena of injustice during life, death encourages people to try to enjoy life instead of devoting themselves to developing noble character traits. And therefore, he turns to the Yirei Elokim and he says, it doesn't make any sense. Hakol kasher lakol, mikre achad latadik v'larasha, latov, latahor, latame, lazoveach, v'lasher einenu zoveach. Same terminology that we saw in at the beginning of chapter 5 when the Yirei Elokim wanted to claim that it is worthwhile to stay in the house of God and to serve God. But the Yirei Elokim, who may try to preserve devotion by speaking of meaning in this world and in afterlife, he says, we don't know any of that. Zera b'chol asher nasa tachat ha-shemesh, mikre achad lakol. All I know is that the same thing happens to everyone. You can be righteous, you can be wicked. You could offer sacrifices and not, the same thing happens, which is death. Gam le b'nei adam alei ra v'holilot b'lvavam b'chayehem b'charav el hamitim, which is why people recognizing death basically say there is no purpose to life. And who knows what's going to happen to them in death. Kimi asher yuchubara kol ha-chayim yesh bitachon. He basically is going to tell us that there is no point in being a Yirei Elokim, so much so that a live dog knows more than a deceased lion. The only thing we know for sure is our eventual death. The dead know nothing and they're forgotten. Their feelings vanish and they're no longer granted any enjoyment or reward. All man can count on is life in this world. He can't be expected to devote his life's effort to a world whose basic existence, Olam Haba, he has no way of affirming. And therefore, he turns to the Yirei Elokim and basically says, death, once again, like the end of chapter 6, death undermines any purpose of life. Oh, you're wondering why I'm around and why I'm not committing suicide? Well, at least in life, there's only one advantage, and that is that some people know you. Ki ha-chayim yodim she-yamutu. Firstly, in life, you know that you're going to die, whereas in death, you don't know anything. And at least in life, people know you, whereas once you're dead, nishkach zachram. Everyone forgets you. And therefore, starting at Pasuk Zayin, he is going to talk about what man then should do with his life. The hedonist presents his directive after rejecting that of the Yirei Elokim, cognizant of death's looming presence. Man should aim to maximize his enjoyment of life without pausing to worry about right and responsibility. Man should happily and actually simply relish whatever his allotment in this world is, not because it's meaningful, but exactly that. There is no meaning, so you may as well really sit back, relax, and enjoy. Not because you're going to gain anything of significance from it, but there's nothing else to do in life, so you may as well enjoy life, as he begins to tell us already in a pasuk zayin lech achol v'simcha lachmacha u'shtei b'leiv tov yinacha ki kvar ratza lokim et masacha. God, again, in this predetermined world, already knows what's going to happen with you, and therefore your job is just to play out your role, enjoying as much as you can. From here we see that once upon a time, white clothing was considered the fancier clothing because it had to be bleached. Put in whatever hairsprays and mousse you want to put in your hair. Just enjoy. Man should enjoy life with a woman he loves without concern over whether or not the love is right or true, or if he can get more. In Perek Chet, Kohelet expressed concern about man being seduced by a woman aiming to lead him astray. But the hedonist does not expect man to follow any right path. He's unconcerned. If the man loves, then the woman's agenda or her ulterior motives are irrelevant. Man ought to care only about pleasure and not be concerned with truth or righteousness, because life is meaningless. Pleasure is the best share that man can hope for. And how about the Chacham? So he's going to begin to speak against the Chacham, אין הפסוק יוד, כל אשר תמצא ידך לעשות בכוחך עשה, כי אין מעשה וחשבון ודת וחוכמה ושאול אשר אתה הולך שמה. Here he warns the Chacham not to allow his capabilities to deceive him. Eva, the Chacham, was frustrated over his inability to find absolute truth. He didn't suggest that he live by the implications of whatever it is that he can do, his closest approximations. Man need not worry about his errors because there's no final accounting anyway. So death keeps all men, no matter how capable, no matter how smart, no matter how pragmatic they are, from realizing their potential. שבתי וראו תחת השמש, כי לא לקלים המרוץ ולא לגיבורים המלחמה וגם לא לחכמים לכם. Don't think that every wise person is going to be able to control and actually earn a good livelihood. וגם לא לנבונים עושר וגם לא ליודעים חן. And why is it that wisdom should not deceive man? Because death is going to limit his potential. Man cannot even plan to maximize or control the life he lives because he has no way of controlling or even knowing when death will suddenly strike. Imagine trying to formulate a game plan for a competition that ends without warning whenever the referee feels like ending it. Although we like to see ourselves as if we are controlling our fate, in fact, he says, we're no different than birds or fish who unwittingly fly or swim into the fatal traps set for them. This is a very depressing pasuk, as he tells us the end of pasuk yud, ki eitz v'fega yikret kulam, because there is a time when death strikes everyone, no matter how righteous, no matter how smart you are, ki gam lo yeda hadam et ito. We're just like, he says, the fish and the birds who don't know their time of death either. And the striking word at the end of pasuk yud bet, when the eight ra'ah comes, kshetipol alehem pitom, when it comes suddenly, without warning. And this is what and why he's most depressed. The hedonist, as we've seen, basically presents a speech subdivided into three sections. The first six psukim, then we found the third speech of pasuk yud, yud aleph yud bet, they refute the philosophies of the Yirei Elokim. And then the Chacham, the second part of his speech, Psukim Zayin through Yud, presents his alternative, which is you may as well just enjoy until you die. Perek Tet's distinguishing factor is the usage of death to reaffirm his rejection of man's ability to realize any philosophical goals. But then again, there's hope, because we open up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Gam Zo Ra'iti, we hear a new speech. And who is going to be the speaker this time? Gamzo ra'iti chokhma tachat ha-shemesh. Wait a second, comes the Chacham back for a comeback. After this final speech of the Nehentan, who dismisses any meaning in life, the Nehentan, the hedonist, who basically has said, you may as well just enjoy because there's no meaning in this world, comes the Chacham and he says, wait, but there still is wisdom. What we're going to find is that, in contrast to the first analytical section, which concluded with the hedonist's absolute rejection of all solutions, the second section now concludes with the Chacham's expression of his frustration. He begins by admitting that wisdom is not fully realizable and it's unappreciated. Nonetheless, he's very stubborn. He's unwilling to renounce its significance. He begins by expressing his frustration over the gap between wisdom's potential and the reality. He employs numerous parables and similes and metaphors. He begins by explaining that although wisdom often enables the weak, for example, a small besieged city, to overcome a powerful aggressor, the wise man who got everyone out of the city is forgotten. We employ wisdom when necessary, but we don't value it enough to devote all our energy to its complete development. How many people choose to go see a movie, not necessarily wise movie, a movie over going to a lecture or to a shiur? We, at some point, again, may use wisdom, but we don't really value it enough to devote all our energy to its development. Despite the fact that wisdom is more valuable than physical strength, it's disregarded. More people and want to have fun than study. More people in all cultures invest more money in entertainment than they do in education, than they do in scientific research. And just think of the amount of money that actors make versus the amount of money that teachers make. There, that's his point. Despite the value of the Chacham's softly spoken words over the foolish shouts of official leaders or even high-tech weapons, they can and inevitably are annulled by the foolishness of, as he says, even a single seal, that one foolish person on a team can spoil the entire lot. How often do we hear of intricate plans in the government, on committees that fail because of silly mistakes of those expected and not to implement them? Like dead flies putrefy perfume, so too folly often outweighs wisdom. And as much as he wishes that it wouldn't, he says, I look around at the reality, and even though I see the value in wisdom, I see practically it doesn't really work. So even though he tries to employ chokhmah in so many different ways, ra'iti chokhmah, I see chachamim, I see the lev of the chacham, I see chokhmah is better than gvura, nonetheless, in the end, even if chokhmah is better than clay krav, chote achad, one foolish person can dismiss and undermine all of wisdom. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Zechrona Levracha.